Hello, Greenhorns. This is Severin with Greenhorns Radio, once again, live broadcasted from the field, in this case, from Madras, Oregon, where we are at the site of the Jefferson County Fairgrounds. This is the annual Small Farmers Journal horse-drawn farm equipment auction and swap meet. And this is a fabulous place with fabulously clear air. And we're here because of the presence here of many, many young farmers and many, many not-so-young farmers and their growing passion for farm-based agriculture, horse-based farming, oh dear, and small farming. And I'm sitting here with Chandler from Island Meadow Farm on Vashon Island. And those of you loyal to our blog may have even read something from Chandler in the past. Chandler, will you introduce yourself and tell us why you're here at this event today?
Hi, everyone. My name is Chandler, and I manage a farm on Vashon Island in Washington, Sound. I'm here at the Draft Horse Auction for my first time, brought down by a friend and mentor who has draft horses up in West Washington. I've heard a lot about the scene down here and wanted to check it out. I'm interested in draft horse farming, but currently I'm using a BCS tiller. And
for those of you who don't know, BCS is a small Italian walk-behind tractor.
Yes, it is. And I'm here because there's tools and people with incredible knowledge, and they're all willing to talk and answer questions and share information, and they're all friendly, and it's a different part of the country, too. I've never been here to the high desert in Oregon, and it's beautiful. The thunderstorm was intense, and I think it just highlighted the auction. Just went out with Zoom. Started with the boom.
Yeah, it's the Wild West around here. You go back behind any highway and you want to go pee, and you're like in the middle of the sagebrush and there's coyote tracks. It's really nice.
And if you don't have a cowboy hat on, you are looking like you're out of it.
No, we're in like minority. Now, I wanted to know what your travel was like getting down here, and what the weather's been like on your farm, and what you have look forward to when you go back.
Well, it was pretty good weather last week. I still waiting to get my potatoes in the ground, but been harvesting since March, lots of overwintered stuff and a lot of salad mix, and stocked my farm stand before I left, and drove down with some friends into Lannis Morstead and some other good music. We drove down the peninsula and through Olympia, up by a Blue Heron Bakery for some goodies, and got our way down off of Portland out into middle Oregon here.
That was how many hours, and was it worth it?
The hours of driving was maybe 6 or 7, and absolutely, it's already been worth it, and we still have 3 more days here, so.
Hallelujah. So that was your trip to the auction.
Yeah.
And what was your trip getting you onto this farm in Vashon? Where did you come from in the world? And how did you find yourself on that beautiful little green gem?
Well, it's the most of my childhood, surfing and playing volleyball on the beach, and didn't have really any gardening experience. My aunt and uncle started a grass farm in Texas about 7 years ago, and I started getting interested in gardening and did a farm internship. Farm in Indianola, Washington, Boston Valley, and Arroyo Grande, California, and then was offered to manage Island Meadow, have a lease arrangement. I rent a house there, and I grow vegetables. I harvest from the perennials, the kiwis, raspberries, hazelnuts, walnuts, chestnuts, and I raise poultry for pigs for meat.
Gotta love the pig.
Yeah. Garbage disposals that are a lot cheaper and, give these entertainment too.
Your pigs uproot blackberry. I know you guys have a lot of rambling plants. You're hybrid invasive blackberry.
Invasive blackberry is probably what consumes the most amount of land on our property. And they're working away at it. I'm chipping away at the blackberries. And they're providing some manure as well and some delicious.
So you've been on that island for how long? And what else is going on in that little island chain? I know there's a whole bunch of cool, there's a mobile slaughterhouse, and there's an amazing permaculture nursery. What else is, people unfamiliar with that scene up there, what does your region have to offer to other young farmers?
The Puget Sound region drew me when I first started farming because it's just a hub. There's so much going on and so much support for local food there. I had so many farms to choose from. Finding an apprenticeship in the first place, there's a lot to offer just in terms of that, but there's a lot of small farms that are all connected through Tilt Producers of Washington. That's an annual conference, and it's in Port Townsend this year. It's going to be awesome. It's in November. I forget the exact date, but it's usually the second week in November. Yeah, it's on the beach this year. It's going to be sweet.
We're going to be here.
Pretty cold. Back to Tilt. Anyway, and so Vashon Island is part of King County, just outside of Seattle. The island offers from a lot of commuters working off island, and there's just a ton of support. I mean, there's probably a good, like, six or seven solid full-time farmers selling at the farmer's market. A lot of support in terms of helping each other out. I've had my friends help me slaughtering, and there's a chicken plucker that is just being set up to rent. And, there's a lot of education going on as well. There was a Vashon Food Summit this spring. The island's awesome. It's the other things you mentioned, part of the San Juan Islands, up a little further north, mobile slaughter unit. There's also a mobile slaughter unit in South Tacoma, south of Seattle, that's set up, and they're looking for members to sign on to use it. And it's a full trailer, and they can harvest anything from a cow, a pig, and I think chickens too. So.
Sounds like it's a fun thing happening out there.
Yeah.
So the spring is strong, but you're bending down a lot, getting everything going, putting everything in the ground. What's your marketing like? What's your main motivation to change your offers last year? What are your new developments?
I came into an already existing established farm. It had been fallow for a few years. It had a farm stand already set up about a mile and a half from town where the farmer's market was held. So that was my main marketing. Farm stand is the primary sales. Very popular. It's been around for a long time, so a lot of people knew about it. I was very privileged to come into a situation like that. I also sell a restaurant on the island. Some friends of mine run a farm-to-table restaurant. They keep our salad mix on the menu as long as I have enough, which I've been harvesting for them since the middle of January.
You guys have enough poop on the island, enough animals for your compost?
There's a lot of horses on the island, which is an okay manure to use. A lot of people have horses as you know, for riding and whatnot. So there's plenty of manure in that way. We bought some cow manure this year from the island, which was a pretty rare thing to find. And I also produce my own compost with the chicken and pig manures. Yeah.
So you don't really sell anything off-island. You don't sell anything to Seattle at this point. Is that in your future?
No, and I think there's enough people on Vashon. There's about 10,000 people in the summer and the interest is strong enough that I can sell most of it on the island. There are a lot of vegetable farmers, and I'd say that there is some competition in that realm, but protein market is open, and you asked about what I'm going to change this year. The new thing I'm going to try is fried mushrooms. A new experience. The folks at Fungi Pesticidae were helpful in that, buying my plugs from them and some logs from the Vashon Forest Stewards. I'm also expanding, just trying to do a little bit more animals, doing pigs again this year, and we did our own butchering, and we might do a class where people can come and learn how to do it at the end of the season. I'm also doing a few rounds of poultry, I think, for meat.
Your hands full.
It's very full, and I work a part-time job, too.
You're all alone doing this whole thing by yourself?
This year, I am. I had some other farming partners last year, and we had two different properties that time. I was renting a house off the farm. But now I moved to the farm, and so I have less land to grow on down by myself this year. I have a few work traders.
Don't get lonely out there. I guess that's why you have all the animals.
Well, it's a great community. I have a lot of friends who are farming on the island. That restaurant I mentioned, La Boucherie, has a farm, Seabreeze. A bunch of my friends work for them, raising animals. Based on Seattle, do raw milk as well. And, you know, I have a bunch of farms that are neighbors, too, I can just walk to, and there's some other folks living on the property. So it's pretty easy not to get lonely, but, yeah.
Well, the whole mile and a half town situation, that is hot. I mean, you
can ride my bike down and, you know, go to the library and press my... I go this spring, though, so I have been off bike, but I hope to get back on very soon.
Back on the bike, and then soon, hopefully, on the horse. Now, let's talk about your aspirations as a horse farmer and what has informed them so far, and what the spirit of this event today has kindled in your little soul as far as insights about how long that might take to get to the horse place.
Horse farming is completely new to me. My friend Betsy, who I down with, farms horses on Bainbridge Island, a little north of me, and she has been really encouraging and helpful in exposing me to this world. Also, I saw Lynn Miller speak 2 years ago at the Silk Conference in Washington. He was really inspiring and friendly and knowledgeable, and his writings and all the writings of all farmers in general and opening me up to that world. I hope to, at some point, learn. I'm not sure if I want to have draft horses, or I don't have the space right now at the location, but it's something I'm interested in learning more about.
And right now, we're sitting here in front of a Ward Farrell show barn, and there is indeed a beautiful team, but their muzzles are shortening. They're steaming. The horses are actually have steaming breath. That's how chilly it is right now.
They're carrying a carriage of people around the show ground.
And in the parking lot, the managers of the parking lot are kind of like stewards of the parking lot. They've got really amazing outfits on, and they're on horseback. And, you know, you drive in, you're told exactly where to park your car. And by these fabulous, pristine, branded Palomino ponies. You know, elderly gentlemen on horseback. So there's no question about where you're going to park. Let's describe what else is going on around here.
Well, there's a lot of auctioning going on in the background. I don't know if everyone can hear it. Are you thinking about buying
today? Well, I was thinking about buying a horse and riding it down to San Francisco. But, no, because we're doing a party next weekend in Petaluma. So I've got to hit that down my coast now. Oh, how much
no
space?
No
space. But we recorded some audio of the auction, so that'll go on. That'll go on the show. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for, I don't even know if it exists, but I really want a non-mechanic or a non-electric nut cracker so that I can sell my nuts at a higher price. Right now I'm selling mint shell, mostly hazelnuts, and that's great, but I think people have a limit how much they want to buy if they don't crack that nuts, you know? But, so that's what I'm looking for. I'd like a corn shell too for bent form. Just some small tools.
Some non-electric huskers and checkers and deep sellers. Because that's just those big equipments. I've seen them on big farms. Just some serious. And then you have nut residues, like nut shell mulch.
Yeah, it's for compost too. And the pigs, particularly those too, they eat the hazelnut stuff. Just crack the whole thing in their mouth. So.
And scoop it out. I didn't know that.
I don't know. I've actually inspected the manure to see if there's a little bit going up. you can listen to them at night, cracking away.
Good, dulling their teeth down.
Yeah.
So what else is going on here? There's an exhibit hall, and there are all sorts of farming groups, breed promoters, leather guys who are selling rosettes for your saddle, so you slash on straps.
Hat. Good hat here.
Gorgeous hat. We just met, Chandler and I just met up by the hat stand. We were trying on hats. You're really in the minority if you don't have the cowboy hat on. And there's often farm equipment and implements, miscellanea, like weird, you know, hand forged tools and hinges and weights and
things. Blacksmith auction going on right now. There are a lot of tools at the shop pulled right behind us. I was in there for a little bit looking at the grinders. I don't know. You know what? They're just really.
Well, I saw that, and there's a sharpener right there. I kind of feel like just being and looking and gaining a little bit more literacy about different qualities of things and how, you know, like if someone who looks like they pretty much know what they're doing is buying something that looks really rusty, that's encouraging to me that they. My friend's been restoring.
Most things are rust colored here.
Including a lot of the pants.
You think it was denim, but they're actually rust colored.
So that's the scene. And tonight we're going to be doing a young farmer panel. We're going to show a little bit of the sweet greenhorn. And we're going to have, I think there's six young farmers on the panel talking a little bit about their experience, resources that exist for us to connect with each other. And interesting, you know, just that Chandler and I kind of knew each other over the internet, and now we get to connect each other in person in the sun in the middle of Oregon.
Thank you, Greenhorn, for connecting all of us. Wonderful resource. And the radio show is awesome, too.
Well, it seems like we're all kind of affiliated with these institutions and the alumni network of our farm. You're talking your other alumna of which farm was it?
Angela and I worked at Watson Valley Farm. Roy Grande.
And here you are in Oregon.
Here we are in Oregon.
And there's these fabulous affinity groups, little magnetic clusters that seem to catch us in their net. And
just the Evergreen State College students, a bunch of groups of them here too, and yeah, that's the other young farmers that we've seen before, and it's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of old timers here. Really cool, you know, the way they're walking. And then there's a lot of young faces. And, you know, just like standing in the auction with her, they bidding. There were some little tribes of young farmers bidding on stuff. To see that how often that interstitial, you know, commercial space where farm infrastructure is moving between generations, basically. And those of us who spend a lot of time looking at archival footage will know that in the 80s, so much footage of these, you know, really desperate farm auctions. So many farms have equipment that has numbers from auctions, and you'll have three or four or five sets of numbers because that equipment has just gone through, you know, some farms that went broke. But here it doesn't feel like it's a liquidation situation. It feels like a intergenerational situation.
Yeah. There's some stories also really quickly interjected between the items, too. Oh, this of this guy's lot. You know, he's 102. He farms here in this area, and great stuff right here. I love that. You know, the stories behind it all, too. It's just intergenerational past knowledge. And I feel like it's coming full circle, too. You know, we use a lot of mechanical electric devices in our day-to-day activities, but it's also the interest in, like, the equipment that was used to be 70 years ago on a large scale. And beautiful things.
And they're beautiful things, and they're really well made, much better made than some of the stuff you can get today. And pretty affordable. I mean, hand forged hinge is $5.
That's pretty cheap.
That's very cheap. I was impressed. What were you just pointing at?
I was pointing at there's this grain over here that I got my eye on. I would like to grow more grains. We did that down at Watson Valley where Hensel and I worked, and he had a old combine that we used to strength and your small scale thrust at, you know, 25 pounds, 50 pounds at a time. In the back of the land store, you heard this place?
I ordered a bucket there. But, yeah, and then you can make your own liquor.
In the bucket?
Or no, here with your grain. In your grain. There's an island off, not Chicago. Where's those big lakes? Oh, dear. I've forgotten which lake it is, but it's been one of the big lakes. They're a company that has hired back 13 farmers to grow rye to make vodka off that island. So maybe island. I don't know if the rules are different on your island, if it's owned by pirates or if you have your own currency.
It's all anarchy there. there's some wine, a lot of wine going on our island. There's some brewing, lots of brewing. But have yet to see the vodka, the home brew vodka.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Eventually.
Now, let's just remind everyone how they can find you and your farm and your island and your name once again.
There's a ferry. There's three ferries on the island. You can come to me. It comes from Kitsap Peninsula, the mainland, or from Soma. That's the
one we're talking about. This is near Seattle, Washington.
Correct.
And the island is called Vashon. And the farm is called Island Meadows. What's your website?
I have a blog that I don't really update very often, and it's islandmeadowfarm.wordpress.com.
There you have it. That was from the ground, on the ground, back in Rogers, Oregon. Dry, safe, best country, fabulous cliffs, and wonderful gorges, a lot of overalls, and a lot of mud, and beautiful frisking dogs. Like the healthiest, happiest dog you ever saw. We're happy to be once again sponsored by Hearst Family Tent. Delighted this evening to be showing our film and doing a panel. Tomorrow is a social. And
party.
Yeah, there's beer and everything. And look at the poster online. We'll be posting this, pictures if you want to vicariously experience the situation. And then, of course, in Petaluma, California, we're going to be having another young farm professor with the Petaluma Historical Society doing a presentation about the poultry industry. We'll be showing archival films of the Nonpartisan League, which is a socialist farmers movement in 1910 in North Dakota. We've got 600 donated oysters and stuff and slurp. A whole bunch of other stuff that I can't remember right now, but go on our blog, tell all your friends, come on down, there's plenty of ride chairs, and thank you so much for listening. Have a lovely day.